Welcome to Exaltation. This is Father David Masterson bringing you the beautiful, the good, and the true on the Voice of Hope radio broadcast. Our scripture today is Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposed him to be in the group, traveling a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so badly? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And Jesus said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of opening your holy word. Open our eyes and open our hearts that we might hear and understand what you want to say to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the dominating goal of your life? What great purpose motivates your daily actions? The great motivating purpose in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was to obey his Heavenly Father. Jesus came into the world as the servant of his Father to accomplish the Father's will and purpose. As the story unfolds in Luke chapter 2, we see Mary, Joseph, and Jesus going up to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. When the feast was over, Mary and Joseph departed for home, supposing that Jesus was traveling with relatives. After a day's journey, they didn't find Jesus among the relatives and friends, and so returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they finally found Jesus in the temple, sitting with the religious leaders, asking them questions and being asked questions by them. And everyone who heard Jesus was amazed. How could a 12-year-old boy have such wisdom and understanding? Mary said to Jesus, "Son, "Why have you treated us this way? Don't you know that your father and I have been searching for you in great distress?" And he answered her, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" The fact that this incident happened when Jesus was 12 years old is important. The 12th year was the final year of preparation for a boy before he entered full participation in the religious life of the synagogue. Up until that time, his parents, and especially his father, taught him the commandments of the law. But at the end of the 12th year, the Jewish male goes through a ceremony by which he formally takes on the yoke of the law and becomes a bar mitzvah, or a son of the commandment. This was the year Jesus chose to stay behind in the temple. Perhaps at this crucial turning point in every Jewish boy's life, Jesus wanted to demonstrate for those who had eyes to see that his was not an ordinary Jewish bar mitzvah. His insight into the commandment was more profound than any other man, and his relation to God was unique. It is likely that here, as the manhood of Jesus was growing, so was his consciousness of his divine sonship. I want to suggest that even as Jesus developed a sense of divine sonship, so must each of us as his followers. As we grow and mature from childhood to adulthood, biologically and physically, so should our spiritual consciousness that we belong to God as his sons and daughters grow and mature. If we belong to God as his sons and daughters, then his supernatural life is to daily fill our souls. Through faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God enters into our human spirits, and we become energized and vivified by his life within us. Then see in these verses the must of obedience to God. Verse 49 says, "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" The Greek word means literally, "the things of my Father," or "my Father's business in my Father's house." Jesus is saying to his mother, "Didn't you know that I would naturally be about my Father's business in his house?" Is this true of us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do people around us know that we are concerned, deeply concerned for our Father's business and are committed to his holy house, the church? Do we as followers of Jesus Christ in the 21st century have a sense of obligation, of duty about our commitment to Christ? Listen, beloved, when our desires and inclinations coincide with our obligations and duties, we experience a deeply blessed and delightful life. But if there is a constant pulling within, a constant tension between my Father's business and priorities and my own business and priorities, that leads to a life of frustration, of misery, and of slavery. Because the life is divided within, between self and Christ, and such a life has no tranquility, no peace, and no inner freedom. There's also something to be learned from watching Jesus sit with the teachers of the law asking questions and being questioned. There are four things for us to see, beloved. Jesus sought out teachers and sat in their midst. He listened, he asked questions, and he gave answers. Now, if Jesus, as the Son of God, sought out teachers, listened, asked questions, and gave answers concerning the things of God, therefore we as his followers ought to do the same. It is a sad truth that most people are not eager to understand more about God than they already understand. Very few people today are hungry to study the Bible, to ponder the mysteries of our faith, and to grow in holiness of life. Very few people are eager to drink at history's great well of spiritual wisdom. This is an enormous problem in modern churches and colleges, and is even worse at the university level. But it becomes a tragedy when we see this attitude in divinity schools and seminaries where pastors are being trained to lead congregations of God's people. Even among seminary students, there is very little zeal to learn the glorious revelation of God in the Bible and understand it from cover to cover, how it all fits together in a glorious unity. Richard Baxter, the 17th century English pastor, wrote the classic book, The Reformed Pastor. He said, "Take heed to yourselves that you lack the qualifications necessary to your work. A pastor must not himself be a babe in knowledge, for he must teach others the mysterious things which must be known for salvation. As a pastor, I feel tremendously challenged by the example of the Lord Jesus and the admonition of Baxter to strive for increased wisdom and understanding of the Scriptures. I encourage each of you in my listening audience to find wise teachers, qualified teachers who love the whole counsel of God and are steeped in God's Word, the Scriptures. Listen to them. Ask them questions and keep asking questions until the Bible begins to fit together and your understanding of God and His ways grows and grows." You are listening to Exaltation. I'm Father David Masterson, bringing you the beautiful, the good, and the true through the Voice of Hope radio broadcast. Let's continue our lesson. Now, we also need to notice the contrast between your father and my father in verses 48 and 49. Mary says, "Your Father and I have been searching for you." Jesus answers, "You should have known I would be at the house of my Father." In other words, Jesus has chosen this crucial time in his life as he enters into manhood to tell his parents in an unforgettable way that he now knows who his real Father is and what it will mean for his mission. It will mean, as Simeon says in Luke 2:35, "A sword will pierce through your own soul also, Mary." The time will come when Jesus will be killed at Jerusalem, and after 3 days he will rise from the dead, and that crucifixion will be a great pain and distress to Mary. Notice that Mary says to Jesus, "Your Father and I have been seeking you in pain or in great distress." This pain and distress of the 3 day separation is a foreshadowing of the ultimate pain Mary will feel as she stands at the foot of the cross and watches the death of her son. Recognition of Jesus' sonship takes precedence even over the closest family ties. This is a lesson we must all learn. Jesus must follow God's will even if it brings pain and distress to family relationships. Do we follow his example of obedience? Are we willing to seek and love Jesus even if it means that we will hurt those in our own families or among our relatives? What we need to realize, beloved, is that the main lesson from our gospel in Luke chapter 2 is obedience. Jesus stoops in obedience to be incarnate as a man, subject to God, his heavenly Father. During the hidden years from his birth to his entrance into manhood at age 13, Jesus stoops in obedience to his parents. Then from age 13 until his entering into public ministry, Jesus continues to stoop in obedience as a child, subject to Mary and Joseph. When he goes to the cross, he stoops in obedience to the weakness of each of us by becoming our atonement for sin. All of Jesus' life is one great act of obedience to the will of God. This is the attitude and example of Jesus we are called to pursue, undivided obedience to God, our Heavenly Father. God had raised up many examples of good and holy saints in the Old Testament before Jesus came. All the godly men and women, from Adam until John the Baptist, were noted for one virtue or another. But in the fullness of time, God determined that he would gather all his work, all the perfection of his nature, into one living volume, one living word, Jesus himself, who would exemplify what it means for a man to obey God. Think of it this way. It's like putting all the world's best sculptors in one room and asking them to create a masterpiece. One sculptor forms a magnificent leg, the other a beautiful hand. Michelangelo forms the eyes, and Raphael a wonderful head. Each of the genius sculptors agrees, "We will put all these glorious body parts together into one model man to make the statue par excellence, the perfect model of manhood in obedience to its creator God." This is what the Lord God did when he crafted the humanity of Jesus Christ. God said, "Job had patience, Moses had humility, David had a heart after me, Jeremiah had perseverance under suffering. I'll put all these godly character traits and virtues into one God-man, the Savior, Jesus Christ. He will be the perfect model of obedient man, as I created man to be from the beginning before the fall." Then throughout the earthly life of Jesus, He consistently obeys all the law and commandments of God as a pattern for us to follow. Why was Christ baptized? Because he was sinful and needed to have cleansing? No, he was baptized as a pattern of obedience for us to follow. He had no sin. He needed not to repent or be baptized. Why was he tempted in the wilderness and tried severely by the devil? As a pattern of obedience for us to follow. We learn how to handle temptation by watching Jesus. Why did he go to the mountain in the morning to pray? As a pattern of obedience for us to follow. We learn how important prayer is by watching the Lord Jesus. Why did he forgive his enemies who cruelly beat him and tortured him before they hung him on the cross? As a pattern of obedience for us to follow. We learn how to be kind to our enemies and to pray for them by watching Jesus. Jesus never once swerved from the perfect model of what a redeemed, converted, consecrated, surrendered human being is supposed to look like. He always did his Father's will. He always did his Father's business. Meditate, beloved, upon Jesus on the cross. His Father's business caused him to open his back to the scourging of the Roman whip. His Father's business crushed his head with the crown of agonizing thorns. His Father's business made him mocked and spit upon. His Father's business made him stumble in pain, carrying his own cross. His Father's business made him yield himself to death, even though he was the only perfectly good, righteous, and holy man who ever lived. So how do we go about our Father's business? How do we seek his priorities and allow the life of Jesus to be lived through us each day? Ponder the words of the hymn writer. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, so most gracious Lord may we evermore be led to Thee. As with joyful steps they sped to that lowly manger bed, so may we with willing feet ever seek the mercy seat. As they offered gifts most rare at that manger rude and bare, all our costliest treasures bring Christ to Thee, our heavenly King. Holy Jesus, every day keep us in the narrow way, where we need no star to guide, where no clouds Thy glory hide. You will find four very practical everyday steps of obedience in the verses of this hymn. First, led to God. Second, willing feet to God. Third, offering our gifts to God. Fourth, walking the narrow way with God. Our inner desire needs to be always led towards God, not distracted away from Him. Then we must have willing feet to do God's work. Desire must be turned into action. Then we continually offer the gift of our lives to God in adoration and praise. And finally, we deliberately, intentionally walk on the narrow path with God that leads to everlasting life. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. This is the great joy of the Christian life. This is our privilege to do the Father's business and be obedient to him. Amen. You've been listening to Exaltation on the Voice of Hope radio broadcast. I'm Father David Masterson with Gaudet Ministries. You may reach us on the web at gaudetministries.org. That's G-A-U-D-E-T-E ministries.org. Or by email at contact@gaudetministries.org. That's contact@gaudetministries.org. We always appreciate hearing from our listening audience. Share a prayer request and we'll pray for you. Until next time, may God richly bless you with this word of encouragement from the prophet Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.